Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
I've been jumping into the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they're the Gospels, the stories about Jesus on earth. And I decided to jump into them this year because I got stuck in the Old Testament last year. And it's good to kind of freshen up and just see, get your perspective back in the essentials of our life as followers of Jesus. So I can highly recommend reading the Gospels any time of year. But, you know, I'm kind of getting through Mark now, and as I was thinking of this message, there's a story that came to mind, a story that's in both Matthew and Mark, which kind of just came and sat with me. And I thought, well, I better just poke around here and see what it's all about. What's in this story? What's going on? Why do I need to dig deeper in this? And as I did dig deeper, it kind of all made sense what this was all about. Because we've been looking at favor. We've been looking at favor this month. And last week, Pastor Jeff talked about that whole sense of favor perceived, that the way we look at favor kind of matters. And we could just look at favor as that big thing out there, the amazing miracles that happen to other people, and that's the only way that God shows favor. Or we can actually see that favor is down in the everyday part of our world, and we can grab hold of it. But sometimes we also perceive that favor has there's a little bit more out there for us. We're happy, we know, we can see the abundance of God around us. We really know that God is good to us. We know that Jesus has blessed us immensely, no matter what our circumstances. But there's something more we just get this inkling about. There's something else there, just for this thing or for this aspect of my life. But we're not quite sure how to grab hold of it. And in reading through this particular story in Matthew and Mark, I found six keys about how to pursue favor. There's a story of a woman who pursued favor. And so we start off in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. We're going to jump between Matthew and Mark because different books bring out different parts of the story. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So he left Galilee. That's where he'd been. What was he doing? What was he doing in Galilee? What had he been doing there? Well, chapter 14 said he'd heard of John the Baptist being murdered. He'd fed 5,000 people. He walked on water. And then he'd offended the Pharisees about impurity and food that they don't eat. It had been a pretty heavy week or month or whatever it was, but it had been pretty big. But why this region? Why go here? This is where the seaports of the Syrian region were. It was away from Israel. It was away from the Jews. It was away from the place that he was actually purposed for. So why go here? Probably needed a bit of space. Needed to deal with the death of John the Baptist. That's a big hit. He needed to revitalize himself, get some time alone after immense miracles and moving in the Holy Spirit and after really ruffling the feathers of the Pharisees. But it was out of characteristic with his focus on earth. And it was actually contrary to what he'd even instructed his disciples back in Matthew 10. He said to them, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the non-Jews. But obviously he was just exhausted. So he went north for a holiday. But Mark says he didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in. Wanted to keep it secret, keep it under wraps. But he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. So who was this woman? Well, she was a Gentile. She was not of the Jewish race, family. Matthew says that she was also a Canaanite. So despised by the Jews. She was probably Greek heritage because it said that she came from Syrian Phoenicia. So they call her the Syrophoenician woman. But she was desperate. And right away she came. Immediately that she had heard, before he even had time to sit down for a cup of tea, she was there on the doorstep ready. She'd lived in the area. How had she heard about Jesus? This is what wasn't his usual stomping ground. How did this region north of Israel come to know about Jesus? How did it come to know what he could do, what he represented? Well, it was testimony, the power of testimony. And the power of testimony causes us to pursue. Back in Matthew 4, it tells a story about Jesus traveling through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. So he's going about his work, what he does. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And news about him spread. It spread as far as Syria. And soon, people from Syria began to come to bring him people who were sick. And whatever sickness or disease, if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Testimony. He took those testimonies. He touched them. He healed them. He loved them. And the first key to pursuing favor is testimony. Because the testimony of others sparks desire. Desire for favor, desire for something to happen. So never underestimate the power of your testimony, the power of that story about what God has done in your world, no matter how small it might have been. Now, Jesus could have healed, you know, a little boy's finger, or he could have healed a heart condition. Whatever the testimony was, it had power because it gave hope and it gave a possibility. It gave a beginning to yearn and pursue something that might just be possible for her. And listen to the testimony of others. Get inspired, get excited, but speak out yours. Speak out what God has done in your world. No matter how small it might seem to you, it could be big for other people. And so this lady probably did hear these testimonies and her desire was fired. She perceived in that there is a possibility of favor. There's a possibility that something could happen in her world. And so, soon as she heard that he was in this house, came and fell at his feet. Matthew keeps going. It says, a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. The second key to pursuing favor is to know who Jesus is. This woman, this Gentile, this non-Jew, was calling Jesus the Son of David. Does she know of the Messiah? What stories has she heard? What does she understand of the Son of David? How is she connecting this insignificant man in this house out of area with the Son of David? What she heard, what she read. Has she heard that the Messiah will come to bless all people? Did she read Joel where it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people? Did she understand Genesis 12 when to mean the Messiah, when it says all families on earth will be blessed through you? Because right now she's pleading and calling upon that favor that she somehow caught a glimpse of, somehow seen that there's a possibility that it's for her. And so she's pleading at his feet. She knew who Jesus was. But Jesus, Matthew says, gave her no reply, not even a word. I can perceive favor. I can see that there's a possibility of something. I can almost touch it. I can feel it. I can smell it. It's there. It's right in front of me. I'm hanging. But there's silence. And then around this cocoon of anticipation and this tension, Matthew said his disciples, they urged him to send her away. They said, tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all her begging. It'd be like this slow motion movie, like, you know, where you get a scene and everything's kind of paused and then all of around it there's the, you know, time hasn't stopped. It's still going at, you know, fast pace. But the focus is paused and waiting. She's paused and hanging there, her gaze locked with Jesus. Because the third key to pursuing favor is that there's hope in silence. Jesus is silent. But as long as he stays silent, there's hope. Because she hasn't been sent away, still there. She's not remained unheard. And her request is being considered. There's hope in silence. And right, you know, you might be in that silence right now. You might be thinking it's just silent. Can't hear anything. Be encouraged by that, because in that space, it's the time to take hold of what you've perceived and to pursue. Matthew said, Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Step back, rebuke, defeat. Is that what that is? But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Worship in the silence. The fourth key is worship anyway. Worship Jesus as Lord, not for what he's done. Worship him in the silence. Worship him as he is God. and he's Lord of the impossible. And then it's time to pursue in that space. Lord, help me. Mark goes on with the story. Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the little dogs. Could he possibly have just said that to me? The dogs in my house, oh my goodness. Wow. The ones that run around with my kids, they're always making a mess at the table. There's stuff going everywhere. The dogs at my house, they are so well fed. My husband, he keeps dropping the sausages off the barbecue. Could he really have said this to me? Crumb from his table, this Lord. Crumb would at his feet would be a feast. You see, often we get to this word dogs and we go, because we don't understand it. We hear the word and we understand the usual form of the word that the Jews would use to refer to the Gentiles as trash, discarded rubbish. The dogs that are running around the street making a mess and just causing havoc. But that's not the word in the Gospels. That's not the word in this story, in Matthew and in Mark. When these are written down, the Greek word kenarion is used. And this word makes all the difference. Because Jesus used this word because it was a soft word and it means little dog. It refers to the kind of dog that the Greeks would have had in their homes as pets. It refers to the dog that would sit at the table at his master's feet and just wait. A dog that was loved. And Jesus purposely chose that word because he didn't want to push her away. But he is reminding her who she is and what her place is as a Gentile. She's not sitting at the table. And he's reminding her what his mission on earth is, what his purpose on earth is. At this time, Mark takes hold of this and she replied to Jesus with probably this sense of anticipation. She said, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Our fifth key to pursuing favor is to understand our value to God. This woman understood her value. She knew her place. She knew she was a Gentile. She knew she was not part of God's chosen family, the Jews. But this did not offend her and it did not deter her because she knew that her place as a Gentile, still offered hope. Because hope that all people would be blessed. Hope in that promise that through Abraham, all people would be blessed. She was so certain of what was available to her that she asked Jesus to show favor to her who she was at her level. I'm happy for the crumbs. Because that's the sixth key. Faith that a crumb was sufficient. He was so completely content with a crumb. Because she could see who Jesus was. She knew he was the Messiah in some way. She called him the son of David. And something in her perceived that a crumb from his table, a crumb from the bread that he would break, was full of favor and hope and promise and possibilities and goodness and power. She could perceive this crumb. And she was willing to pursue it. She was willing to chase it down. Her prayer was short, it was humble. It was filled with faith. It was completely rational and logical. It was respectful and pursuing. And in that space, in that moment, Matthew goes on, he says, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. How she would have leapt for joy. How she would have just rejoiced and wept, I imagine, staying there in his presence at his feet, worshipping him now as Lord and thanking him for what he would have has just done. What she perceived was just a slight possibility. She pursued, and what she pursued, she received. When I jumped into this story and started unpacking it, I just started getting so excited. Because there's something in here for everyone today. Because today there may be people who need to act on one of these keys to grab hold of favor in their world. You know, it may be that you just need to push in with faith that a crumb is enough. Faith that Jesus' power is so immense. So awe-inspiring. That a crumb of his power, a crumb of his touch, a crumb of a look from him is enough to impact your world for eternity. That he is so much greater than what we can imagine. That you just need faith that a crumb is enough for you. I don't need a roast dinner. A crumb from the bread of Jesus is a feast. It may be that this morning you're sitting here and you just need to understand your value to God. That You belong to him. Whether or not you're a Jew by birth from Abraham's family or anyone else in the world, that you are loved by God. You are purposed by God. You are a part of his promises and his purposes. That you are the reason that he sent his son to earth to die and to raise to life again, because God loved you so much. And to understand that that is your value to God, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think, that you are valued by God. And now's the time to lean in on his promises, to stop those voices that say, I'm not worthy for that. I don't deserve that. No, the spiritual people can have the favor. I'm not up to that. But to know that you are up for that, that that is for you, and it's available to you, and it's time to pursue. It also may be that it's just silent, that you're sitting in the middle of a silence. And, you know, you perceived something, but it's kind of a few years now since you perceived that. You thought God was taking you in a direction or leading you towards something, or that there might have been just something out there for you, but it's just stopped now and it's silent. Don't be put off by that. There's hope in the silence. And worship anyway. Jesus is Lord, whether or not he's moved in your world yet. He is Lord, and he is worthy to be praised. And so in the silence, get on your knees. In the silence, raise your hands. In the silence, pray a prayer of worship to him. In the silence, worship anyway. This is the testimony of one lady in the Bible, and there's so many more testimonies of what Jesus has done in people's world. But of her, and there's another Gentile who was a Roman soldier, these two people are the only two people in the world where Jesus says, your faith is great. The testimony of this lady can inspire us to pursue favor. It would look like that she would belong to outside of Jesus' favor, but she pursued anyway. She heard the testimony of other people who had been touched by him and healed and loved. And so she went. She found him. She fell at his feet. And she knew that he was the Son of David. She knew that he was Lord. She knew who Jesus was. Today you might have heard different testimonies, this lady, of other people around you, and it sparks something in you. It's just put something inside of you and not quite sure where to go with it. The first step is to know Jesus. Know who he is. Find out about him. Read the Bible. It tells us who he is. It tells us what he is capable of. It shows us how much he loves us. It shows us that he died for us to save us, to heal us, to make us whole. Get to know him. And I believe here this morning that everyone here is on a part of that journey, somewhere in their life.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.